A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, when Herod was tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and when Lysanias was tetrarch of Abilene, and during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the desert. John went throughout the whole region of the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, a voice crying out in the desert, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his path. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The winding road shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Well, I don't know about you, but most of the time I get to Christmas and I'm exhausted. And maybe our feeling is, finally, let's get this over with. No, we're so busy in December between shopping, trying to remember who we have to shop for, sending out cards, arranging parties, going to parties, office parties, giving gifts at work and so on. It's all pretty exhausting. But this is supposed to be a season of preparation. But we spend most of it in material preparation, going to St. Nicholas parties like yesterday and Santa Claus and whatever else. Yesterday in Putt Lake, they had a Christmas parade through the town. It was a bit of everything. And we wind up being exhausted at Christmas, worn out. Maybe that's our experience. And yet this time is supposed to be a time of preparation. We wear purple because it signals that it's a penitential season, a little like Lent, where we're supposed to be preparing the way of the Lord, as St. John the Baptist is telling us, to make straight his paths, so that the Lord can arrive to us. In the first reading from the prophet Baruch is an interesting one, because he wrote during that time of exile when the Israelites had been conquered and taken off to Babylon in captivity. And he, like the prophet Jeremiah, were writing about the time when the Israelites would be able to go back home, and that God would keep his promise, and he would bring them back to the holy city of Jerusalem. And they were looking forward to that day, and the prophets were trying to write to encourage the people to hang on, prepare themselves for that day. And so Baruch says to them, avoid any idolatry. That was the big danger, living there in Babylon, where they believed in all sorts of crazy gods, but not the God of Israel. And they were afraid that those exiles would start to pick up on the pagan religions of the people. So avoid any idolatry, worshiping false gods. And avoid any infidelity to your faith. Well, that's good advice for us today, because we live in a world that's just as secular and maybe as pagan as Babylon was back then. And how often we get influenced by the false gods that we wind up chasing after. Money, power, fame, honor, likes on Facebook or Instagram. Those are our gods today, right? The things that we look for, we hope for. But it's not the true God. It's not what God wants for us. And then St. Paul writes to the early Christians in a city called Philippi, letter to the Philippians. And he says, I want you to be able to present yourselves pure and blameless on the day of the coming of the Lord. Okay, he was talking about the second coming. But it applies to Christmas just as well. The great tragedy, it always seemed to me, as beautiful as the Christmas story is, and so touching, you know, the stable, the little drummer boy, Mary and Joseph, and so on. It always struck me that they were so totally alone, that nobody greeted them. There was no delegation from King Herod's office, diplomats going to welcome the newborn king. In fact, just the opposite. When he found out, he sent soldiers to kill him. But the chief priests in the temple, they didn't go either. All the Pharisees and Sadducees, nobody went. Nobody was anticipating the coming of the Messiah. Even though all of Jewish history had been about that, that God had promised the Messiah. But guess what? When he finally came, nobody was ready. Nobody was looking for him. Probably nobody was interested anymore. They would have said back then what a lot of people in our society say today. What do we need a Savior for? A Savior from what? We're okay. I'm a good person. I don't really need a Savior. That was the self-awareness of the people of Jesus' time, just like it is for us. And that's why in the gospel today, it starts out with this kind of very poetic, majestic description about who was in charge at the time. The 15th year of Tiberius Caesar, the emperor. Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea. Herod was tetrarch of Galilee. His brother, so on and so forth. And during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, it rolls out the names of all these important people at the time. And it situates the coming of John the Baptist, the one who had announced Jesus, in a very concrete moment in human history. Okay. And then it says, during all of that, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the desert. The word of God didn't come to any of those big, powerful people, all those self-important people. Didn't come to the kings and the politicians, even to the high priests in the temple. It came to the son of a priest who lived out in the desert, whose diet was locusts and wild honey, and he wore a hair shirt made of animal skin. The word of God came to him out in the desert. In the desert, because that's the place where one goes to do some reflection, where it's silent. Apart from the noise of the city, from the hustle and the bustle of the temple and the government precincts, out in the desert, you're alone to hear the voice of God. Out in the desert where the temperatures are extreme and you do sacrifice and penance, that's where you hear the word of God come to you. So the word of God passed by all those self-important people and it came to this ascetic monk out in the desert named John the Baptist, whose father had been a priest of the temple. He's the one who had received the word about the coming of the Messiah. He's the one who would go and begin to preach a baptism of repentance, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his path. He would preach about getting prepared for the coming of the Messiah. And if we don't prepare, we'll miss it. It'll pass by as one more holiday, a couple of days off, we spend a lot of money, and we don't change. Nothing happens. So what do we do? Well, every year we complain that Christmas is so materialistic, but we give in to it. Maybe we ought to turn that down a little bit. Maybe we ought to think about not so much about what we buy, but what we give. Maybe we need to give to the poor. Maybe we need to make some sacrifices. Maybe that would be a better use of our family money than buying people things they don't really need. It's always been a great way of doing penance, almsgiving. Maybe we need to turn down the noise and create a desert. Some silence. Yeah, maybe we can't go off to the desert. As tempting as that might be when it's cold, go off to Arizona or somewhere. No, but the desert inside our own heart, where we turn down the media, turn down the noise, so we can listen. And maybe, just maybe, that word of God will come to us in the desert. And then naturally, it's a time when we all need to get to confession, to purify our hearts. Now, the powerful people, the important people, at Jesus' time didn't receive him because they were so stuck on their own will and their own ways, their own self-indulgence. We need that purification. We need that reconciliation with God. So maybe those three things, give alms, make sacrifices, create silence, and repent of our sins, and receive that healing power from God. And then maybe, just maybe, that word of God will come to us too, and we'll be ready to receive Christ.